Did anybody call their dads yet? I totally forgot about my dad last night. We were sitting in the recliner. I'd gotten home from doing a wedding in Lander, Wyoming. And we're sitting there late night, and Sherry said, "Did you get your dad anything?" And I said, "Oh, crap." So thank God Amazon exists. And you can actually schedule gifts to send out on certain days. So it looks like I didn't forget him. If Dad, if you're listening to this, I forgot you, okay? So if you haven't called your dad, call your dad. Can you do that? Text your dad. Has anybody not called their dad for a really long time? You don't have to raise your hand. Has anyone not talked to their dad for a really long time? I want you to pray about that right now and see what God has to say about that. Sound good? Has anyone harbored bitterness and unforgiveness towards their dad and brought it in with them today? I want you to pray about that, and I want you to hear from God on it, and I want you to be faithful to what he's going to ask you, okay? Can you do that? I'm not telling you the answer is yes. I'm just telling you, you need to respond to what God's telling you. So Father's Day is an interesting time, especially when it's in a church, and even Mother's Day and any kind of holiday like that. But it's easy to make father connection with God in your teachings. But today, that's not what we had on the calendar. What we had on the calendar was this teaching, and it was called, "What Have You Done For Me Lately?" And our bulletin person said, "Is this what we're really calling this?" I said, "Yeah. What have you done for me lately?" And then as I started fleshing out the teaching, I got really confused, and I got kind of like not happy myself, because I thought, I think we mistitled this. I don't know. I'm having a hard time understanding what this is, but it's literally asking God the question, "What have you done for me lately?" Anybody been there? Has anybody just been buried under a landslide of crap? Life crap, not like what was it, Biff Tannen in Back to the Future? Not literally. And if you have, I'm sorry. I'm talking about just the stuff of life. And just been buried, and all of a sudden you're looking around and you're trying to make your sense of your walk in Jesus. Because of all this, I would even call it oppression, I would even call it tough times, I would call it just a landslide. Has anybody been there? What have you done for me lately? This isn't how it should be, this isn't how it should line out, this isn't how it should ever look in my life. And what's interesting is I think we read into Scripture and we think that there's something in there about living this non-threatened life. Right? We think we live this life that should never experience any anguish or pain. And what's interesting is Scripture never says any of those things. Scripture talks about joy, but we know joy is different than happiness, right? Or do we not? My wife and I are reading a book called Families Where Grace is the Place. And they have these chapter ends with questions, and the question, I can't remember what it was, something about happiness, right? How does your family experience happiness? And we're like, this question sucks. Food makes me happy. A big steaming pile of nachos from Qdoba. Oh, you know that place. Makes me happy. Guitars make me happy. Motorcycles make me happy. Skateboard accidents make me sad, okay? But there's a difference between joy and happiness, and there's a difference between all this landslide of crap, and we find ourselves in those moments, and we're asking God, "God, where are you? What have you done for me lately?" And I experienced that. As you guys had heard last week, there was a lot of full disclosure going on, which was a little fun for me to bare my soul like that. The week that I taught before, I gave you half of a story. I said, "You guys want to hear a story?" And you always say yes, because this is going to get good about how Adam's living a trashy life. But I gave you full disclosure on everything that had been going on in my world, and through that time, I was asking this question. And it's funny because we titled this teaching, I don't know, month, 2 months prior to this, God, what have you done for me lately? And at first I couldn't resonate with it, and then I was driving to Lander on Friday, and it hit me. Boom. Adam, you were doing this exact same thing. You were saying this exact same thing. And what it looked like was the highs of my spirituality, the highs of the incredible story. Does anybody know what an incredible story is? Like a huge God story that can only, one of my friends says, it's so terrible it has to be God. Or just a really cool story. And so in my life, I've had series of really cool God stories. Miraculous things that don't make sense. Miraculous things that you would only read about in books. Not mine. I don't have any books. But these incredible stories. And so what those can do is they can create this spiritual high, right? Like you start depending on that level of spirituality. You start depending on, well, God's always going to be doing this. I better lower this arm. God's always going to be doing this at this level. Through me, to me. It's always going to be happening. And then it's gone. So we have miraculous stories of, we have a friend who's a bartender at a local bar, and she calls us at 11 o'clock at night and said, hey, this 16-year-old girl walked here. She can't stay here. But she's homeless. She's been kicked out of her home. She was living with a boyfriend. The boyfriend kicked her then out of that home. And we can't keep her here. Do you know anybody that can take her in? And so my wife and I paused Netflix. And I said, this is a really strange phone call. And we just start praying about it. And God says, you need to drive and you need to go get her from the bar and bring her to your house and give her your spare room. That's weird, right? That's a weird God story. Things like that would happen frequently. And then all of a sudden, they just kind of dried up. Or we would take people into our home for 4 months that were homeless. Or we would take people that were stranded on the road. We'd bring them into our home, feed them a meal, and give them a shower so they could actually feel human again. There's just all these great things that happened in my world. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like this stuff dried up. And I said, something's wrong. Something's out of sorts. Something's amiss because all these incredible stories, these highs, aren't happening in my world anymore. And all of a sudden now I've got like what I was talking about last week, this series of unfortunate events that impact my world physically, that impact my world mentally, that impact my world spiritually, that impact my world financially. And then all of a sudden, they're just low, and God's hard to see. God's hard to see. And this is what Paul is addressing right now, and it's interesting. As you read through this, it's not going to say it in these words, but when you think of the idea of what have you done for me lately, if we back up, and it's not going to be on the screen, this first portion, but if you back up, Paul is telling us all the things that God has done. And it says this in 1 Corinthians, the last part of 5. You have heard the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed the whole world. It is bearing fruit and increasing as it also does among you. And since the day we've heard it, we've understood the grace of God and truth, just as we've learned it. God's given us this ability to hear the word of truth. He's also given us the ability of free choice, right? We're not going to just say, yeah, God, that sounds really good, I'm going to do that. We still have this very much us piece existing and coexisting with the Spirit. And they're kind of at war with one another. But he's given us this ability to hear the word of truth. He's done it for ages. He's done it since the beginning of time, since Adam and Eve in the garden, through the entire chasing of the Israelite nation and his people throughout the Old Testament, throughout his life here on earth as Jesus, throughout his changing the world of these apostles and disciples, this small group of people. And that's why you're sitting here today, right? That's why you're here today, is because of these words that were written so long ago. This life lived of these few small groups. And all of a sudden, it's impacting the world, and this truth is being brought to us. This word of truth is being brought to us, and we can know this. What have you done for me lately? Well, he goes on to say in verse 12 that he's qualified us. God qualified us. Jerks like myself, jerks like you. I looked this way, let me say it here too. Jerks like you, jerks like you. He's qualified us in the midst of all of our stupidity, in the midst of all of our running away from him, in the midst of these incredible highs, and in the midst of the incredible lows. He has qualified you to share in the inheritance. He's delivered you from the domain of darkness and transferred you into the kingdom of his beloved Son. That's Jesus, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. These are the things God has done. What have you done for me lately? And then we bust into this portion that we're going to be teaching today, which is 21 through 23. And you who were once alienated, once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless above reproach. If indeed you continue in faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. What have you done for me lately? See, that question really focuses on the temporal, right? The temporary, the here and now. What have you done for me now? What have you done for me lately? Instead of standing firm in what it actually, everything that he did for us, which was everything. God gave us the world. God gave us his kingdom. God gave us his life. God gave us his word so that we know in the midst of trial, in the midst of the lows, in the midst of everything, that there's a way in which we respond to the world around us. My brother was here, and we were talking about, he was here last weekend, and we were talking about life and just this pile of stuff I was under. And he said, hey, you need to go and read James. I said, you need to shut your mouth. And if you read the word in James, here's this man writing a letter to these people. And he's telling these people who are incredibly oppressed under this mountain of stuff, look, you're focusing too much on the immediate right now. You need to go back to what God has done. You need to go back to that place and see God for who he is and how he says you are and how he says you are to operate. And he calls them to operate on this upper level of life. He calls them to operate on this level of life like I was talking about earlier. You know, if you haven't talked to your dad for a long time, you probably need to pray about it. If you have undealt with forgiveness and grace and things within your own heart that you're harboring towards someone else, you need to talk to God about that. And it's crazy because he's going to tell you stupid things like, hey, if you don't forgive that person, you're not forgiven by me. That sounds kind of serious, doesn't it? That sounds kind of big, doesn't it? Are you with me? If you haven't forgiven this person, what are you carrying this stuff around for? Because of everything that I've done for you, I forgave you at your very worst. Think of the worst moment in your world, in your life right now. And think of Jesus just saying, hey, you know what? That's what I came to die for. I've forgiven you at your very worst. I've given you this inheritance. I've given you this word of truth. I've given you everything to know me. And he's standing there saying, will you do it? Will you own those things? You're griping about these, what have you done for me lately issues, and you won't even own the things that I've done for you already. You won't even live in that. You won't live as a person that is loved and made to love others. You refuse to do it. You claim you're the church, but you refuse to give any of your time or effort or energy or finance to impact the body that you say you belong to. You claim you're the church, but when you go to your neighborhoods, all you do is bitch about your neighbor that lives right next to you that has weeds that might get into your yard. Or they play music, like the jerk that owns drums and has a shared wall. That's me. I talked to my neighbor, Frank, and he said, oh, I love drums. I said, good, I'm going to put that to the test. We'll see. Or the neighbor that's hard for you because they give you dirty looks all the time. Or you go to your work and you choose not to love people there because you're just there to make money, right? Either climb the corporate ladder or just punch your clock, get in, get out, get home, be a curmudgeon of a neighbor. These are all the things that God is telling us he's done for us. These are all the things that are available to us. These are the ways in which we can live. He tells us we can live as joyful people. He tells us there's joy in his kingdom, the kingdom that we have inheritance in, the kingdom that he already gave us. Did you know that? He tells us that grace and mercy and forgiveness is possible, and he not only did he tell us that, he showed us that through death on the cross because we couldn't understand it, we couldn't fathom it, we couldn't do it, and he said, this is what it looks like. Check this out. He conquered death so that we could live in this life, that we could live in the things that he did. Yeah, but God, what have you done for me lately? It's the same thing he continues to do. He continues to redeem you and renew you day by day, doesn't he? Who doesn't need that at the end of the day? A good day where I wouldn't hurt anybody includes me not being around anybody. Right? Just sit in your house. What have you done for me lately? So the question is can we live in the solid ground, the things that he has already said, the things that he has already given us, the things that he has already called us into, the things that he has already told us that he is, how he is, who he is, how we are, who we are in him. Can we do that? Is that something you're willing to do today? Or start doing today? Our mission statement is that we are a community persistently moving the world two steps closer. And I used to think two steps was like the smallest amount of movement you could get, and we would get blasted from people. That sounds stupid. That's the dumbest mission ever. I said, well, why don't you try taking a step towards Jesus? Why don't you try taking a step towards from being an unforgiving person to a forgiving person? Why don't you try taking a step by inviting your neighbor into your home? Why don't you try by learning your neighbor's names? Start small, just one step. Why don't you try by calling your dad and having a conversation? Why don't you try by saying, Jesus, for some reason I know that you are who you say you are. I don't have all the answers, but I do know truth, and you've given me some truth. You've given me this word. And that's all I need right now in this moment, and I'm going to cling to that, and then we're going to see where this goes. And then run in that. Take that step. Some of you have taken that step and you've seen Jesus to be who he says he is. And there's still a lot to learn. Some of you said yes to Jesus and you've come and you refuse to be in fellowship with Whitewater. Some of you have said yes to Jesus and you're in fellowship with Whitewater, but you refuse to be in fellowship with the other church people around Laramie, because they're different. If I can tell you something, they think we are just crazy different, okay? Or because you harbor bitterness in your heart because a pastor said something wrong that you didn't like or called you to a higher ground of life and living, I'm out. Not going to talk to me like that. I'm just going to continue to stay where I'm at and not have any movement. This stuff is basic followership. This stuff is moving towards God as basic followership. Being a disciple, a learned follower. They used to talk about in the Jewish culture the dust of the rabbi. They followed him so close. They followed this dude so close that they had his dust on him. And I don't think rabbis were fast in kicking up a lot of dirt. I don't think that's the case. They had to keep their yarmulkes on somehow. Okay, if you run too fast, it'll fly right off. Okay, but they were following him so closely and watching their every move, and they just were covered in this dust and covered in this movement. And they said, we want to be that. We want to do that. And all they were doing was clinging to what God had already said. Trying to follow in that, trying to be in that. So can we stop asking the question of God, what have you done for me lately, and just focus on what he's done and do those things? And then God's going to start unlocking things in your world like he did mine. He's going to give you some of these crazy phone calls. He's going to give you some of these crazy God-sized stories. Not so you depend on that, not so you get a fix and get high on that, but that you will understand that he's calling you to something greater than yourself, something outside of yourself. And if you make the mistake like I did and start depending on that and saying, this is the Christian life, you're going to look around and say, this is dull, this is terrible, when those things are just gone. And God starts doing heart work on you and starts doing the interior stuff because you need it. God, I don't want to pay attention to that. Fill my days with other things. Fill my days with the highs. But just leave me alone. Don't talk to me in the quiet places. Don't keep me awake at night. Don't burden my soul with growth. Don't speak things that I need internally. And then all of a sudden you look around like I did and you realize that God is doing everything that he's been doing in your world, and that the internal stuff is the high points too. Is it in Hebrews that talks about God disciplines those he loves? Yes? He disciplines his children that he loves. He corrects, he rebukes. That's called the Holy Spirit. That's called like pointing you back to Jesus. Pointing you back to everything that he's done, everything that he's called you to, everything that he's asked you to live in. Not in the temporal, not in the moment, but right back to where we started. That's where true life is. That's where that solid, firm foundation is. Will you accept that today? Will you walk in that? Will you be in that? Will you love in that? Because I can guarantee you that your leadership is. And your leadership is constantly getting kicked around and trashed around because of this lifestyle, the saying yes to Jesus. We're the guinea pigs for you. So if you want to know if it's tough, just look at our lives. You want to know if it's worth it? Just look at our lives. This isn't a look at us. We're better than you. This is a yes, life is found here. And if you have any questions, if you have any doubts, if you have any fears, if you have anything, you can guarantee we've had those. We have those. But we continue to look back to who God says he is. And this is so beautiful. Let me read it again. And you, us, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless, not above reproach, and above reproach before him, sorry. If indeed you continue in the faith stable, if you continue, just keep going. If you continue in the faith stable and steadfast, not shifting from hope, from the hope of the gospel that you've heard, this truth, we've got to go back to it, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. God, help us to be that. Help us to own this. Help us to see this. God, the things that you did and the things that you are doing are for our benefit. God, you continue to reconcile us. You continue to save us from death. You continue to point us to you. You continue to ask us to live as you've already asked us to live. None of that changes. God, you continue to ask us to love and serve and to be grace and to take everything that you've shown us and everything that you've asked us to live and be and to live this out for our neighbors, for our family, for our co-workers, for anyone that would get in front of us, God. And I pray as easily as it is for me to just depend on highs and depend on big stories and great stories of what you're doing, God, I pray that you break that down within every one of us, that we stop mischaracterizing what it is to live life in you. Make no mistake, it is an adventure. But God, sometimes the adventure starts within us, the heart work, the hard heart work that you want to do so we can move forward. So God, break down those misconceptions. God, let us live in the foundation of the things that you've already called us to, the word of truth, the inheritance in your kingdom, the saving grace of your death and resurrection and life with the Holy Spirit. God, let us cling to those things. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen.